Please be seated. Years ago, when I was immersed in the Russian Studies program at Southern Cal, I came across a painting called The Soul of the People by a late 19th century Russian artist named Mikhail Nesterov. Nesterov attempted in the scene to capture all that was spiritually good about the Russian people. So in this painting, we have this assembly of folks all standing along the edge of a body of water, sort of looking purposefully out across it. In the middle of the group is the Tsar, and on either side of him, we see Russian patriarchs and all their finery with the long white beards, and we have a large icon of Jesus right next to the Tsar. And then as the crowd spreads out on either side, we see all of these folks in their Sunday best, from merchants and lawyers to farmers. But the eye is drawn to the left edge of the picture when we notice in the middle of all these folks, there's a figure, or standing in front of them, and he's not in his Sunday best. He's basically naked, and a very old man with a long white beard, and he appears to be in some sort of dance with his arms up like he's trying to catch a giant beach ball. And if you look at the eyes of the folks in this assembly who are around him, you can see that they're a little uncomfortable with what's going on. Because while all of them are evoking orthodoxy and decorum and concern with the values of their society, here is this crazy old man immersed in a relationship, in a dance, really, with something above and something divine, and it's just between him and God. The character in the Nesterov painting is what the Russians call a holy fool, Yuridivi, and he has been a stock character in Russian society for centuries. Holy fools might go from town to town or become a fixture in just one community. They dressed absurdly when they dressed at all, because they like to do things like sleep naked in the snow and generally engage in behaviors that really didn't make a lot of sense. But what did all this have to do with religion? Well, the holy fool was someone who called his neighbors up short, who expressed a faith in Christ and witnessed to that faith by behaving in a way that showed that he was willing to ignore social convention and to ignore what his neighbors might think of his behavior. A holy fool felt called to act in this way and to challenge the notion that a life in relationship with Christ entails following the rules of one's time and place. In this morning's gospel, we encounter perhaps the ultimate holy fool, Joseph. Poor Joseph. If ever there was a man who found himself looking foolish for his faith, it was him. Now, even his name tells us a little bit about where he was coming from and the tradition that he came from. Because around that time in first century Galilee, there was a religious revival of sorts that was taking place that was a reaction to the Hellenistic infiltration that had happened, where people were taking on Greek names and Greek culture. Well, in the middle of all that, his parents named him Joseph, which it's kind of like for us, if you run into somebody at the grocery store and they've got five kids lined up and their names are Jeremiah and Zechariah and Malachi, you can kind of infer these guys come from a more fundamentalist side of the Christian tradition. Well, the fact that Joseph's parents named him that, named him after one of the heroes of the book of Genesis, tells us that he came from that basically fundamentalist tradition. So here we have Joseph, an observant Jew living in a small town where everyone knows everyone, probably working construction right down the road in Sepphoris, which was a burgeoning city right down the road from Nazareth that had become sort of a cultural and commercial center under the Herods. He probably had a circle of buddies that he walked down the hill with to go to work and attended synagogue with. and they would have seen the world through the same lens. They would also know that he's engaged to Mary, and they would probably know both of their families. But then God calls Joseph up short and places him in this position to play the holy fool in the midst of neighbors who know him. And God has selected someone who, because of his background, is not the sort of guy who deviates from what's in the Torah. He follows the rules. And in this case, Mary, being with child, has put him in a situation where there's a very specific set of rules that say what's supposed to happen next. In the 22nd chapter of Deuteronomy, it tells us that if a woman turns up pregnant before she is married, the woman must be taken to the door of her father's house, and there the men of the town must stone her to death, for she has committed a disgraceful crime in Israel by being promiscuous while living in her parents' home. In this way, you will purge this evil from among you. That's the rule. And if you live by society's rules 2,000 years ago in Galilee, that's what's supposed to happen next. And yet Joseph doesn't follow that course. And it's not because he is some softy. Matthew tells us that Joseph is unwilling to expose Mary to disgrace because he is righteous. And that word in this context doesn't mean just that he's a good guy. It means that he's in right relationship with God. Joseph is already on the beam. He's already discerning. And his discernment tells him not to follow the black letter law of his own religion. So already then, God is leading Joseph along this path of becoming a holy fool in the eyes of his neighbors. But still, discernment is a process, and he has not quite gotten to the right answer. Instead, Joseph decides that he is going to dismiss her, which is Bible speak for divorce. Because under Jewish law at the time, a divorce was required even during the engagement period. And Joseph decides this is the kinder alternative. And this is where God gets a little more direct and essentially forces Joseph into the role of the holy fool that he would have avoided by divorcing Mary and sending her away to have the child in another community. An angel appears in a dream and explains to Joseph that the child was conceived from the Holy Spirit. And then the angel directs Joseph to name the child Jesus, Yeshua, another good fundamentalist Jewish name. And if Joseph is going to be there to name this child, that means that Joseph has now become obligated to stick around through the whole pregnancy to the end of all this, and to bear the snickers when the two of them are in public and she is obviously showing and everyone knows that that baby is not his. What must it have felt like for Joseph to walk down the hill from Nazareth to Sepphoris to his job with these other young men, bearing the perhaps not so kind ribbing about his pregnant fiance? Joseph has broken all of the rules of his society and allowed himself to be thought a fool by everyone who knows him. And it is not like he can save his stature in this community by just explaining to them that an angel showed up in a dream and told him that the baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. No matter how religious his friends and neighbors may have been, this only would have moved their perception of him from foolish to delusional. And yet Joseph did as the angel instructed, endured the humiliation he must have felt in a society that was built on twin pillars of honor and shame. He went the distance and thereby fulfilled God's plan for the salvation of humanity. Where would we be if Joseph had followed the law, or had followed what he must have felt in every fiber of his being as a young man wanting to save face among people he had known his entire life? What are we to do with this story? Or to use the phrase my homiletics professor taught us, What does the Holy Spirit want the people of God to hear in this scripture? We are gathered today not just to share the liturgy of the Word and the Eucharist, but to baptize Laura into the family of God that is this church. In a few moments, we will join in a baptismal covenant in which I imagine all of you will answer in the affirmative when asked, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? You will also covenant to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself, and to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. Here is an invitation to play the role of the holy fool. What will you do to spread, to proclaim the good news? What would you do to serve Christ in all persons, and not just the folks here at church or your friends at Rotary or at Kiwanis? How will you witness in society through your interactions with the least and the lost and those who cannot do anything at all to benefit you personally, and demonstrate that you are striving for justice and peace among all people and respecting the dignity of every human being? If one were to pull up your Facebook page, would we see those values embodied in what you are telling your circle of so-called friends are your core values? Faith entails risk. Risk that you may have to take a position or behave in a way that defies the conventions of your society. If one believes in an arc of history that bends toward divine justice, and our salvation history suggests as much, one must be willing to play the role of the holy fool, to call out one's neighbors when their conventions and beliefs and actions are upright and reflect good old-fashioned values, but they're not advancing the kingdom. Indeed, the story of Joseph we hear this morning tells us that the only way God's kingdom advances is through the work and witness of holy fools who are in a conversation with Christ through prayer and discernment that leads them down that path that may have nothing to do with society's conventions and may expose them, us, to ridicule and scorn. During this Advent season, now might be a really good time to go back through our spiritual autobiographies, the story of our relationship with Christ in our lives, and ask this question: has there ever been a moment in my life when I was willing to look a little foolish to live out my relationship with God, to keep the promises I made and continue to make in the baptismal covenant? If I cannot find a single moment of playing the holy fool in that story, what am I going to do differently tomorrow?